Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps. My buddy's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. Another buddy joins us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He covers the Browns for the Chronicle-Telegram. And you can read all of his work at brownszone.com, brownszone.com. He's Mr. Scott Petrak. Hello, Scott.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Hey. We're doing well. Maybe not as well as Bill Belichick, despite losing a third-round draft choice. Your reaction when you heard that Cam signed with New England?
It makes a lot of sense. New England now is back in the discussion, I would think, to be a playoff team in the AFC. You know, and if you're looking at the Browns and you're thinking of possible spots to make the playoffs out of the conference, you know, I discounted New England completely because they had Bill Belichick and, you know, all the other reasons, but with Stidham as your quarterback, I didn't feel great about that. With Cam Newton there, I think if you're Buffalo, now you're worried because you thought you were the team to beat in the AFC East, and now I think New England's right up there with you. And it seems like it's another great move for Belichick, assuming that Cam is anywhere close to healthy, because he is still extremely talented.
What do you think it's going to work with Bill Belichick? I think he's going to look at it and go, here we go. New challenge. This is going to be great. I went from thinking that that maybe it would do, now thinking, phew, all right, I wouldn't bet.
Yeah, I'm with you. And it's amazing how one move can do that. And, you know, it's not a bad draft pick. So Cam is that kind of guy that can change a team, especially with a coaching staff like Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels. And to me, it's really interesting. We've seen, I think, signs that Belichick wants to go to an offense that's more diverse at quarterback. You know, with Brady, all he could do was throw the ball, right? They had no, you know, you couldn't run any kind of zone read. You couldn't run your quarterback with Tom Brady, and he's still the greatest of all time, but you were limited in what you could do offensively. Cam opens that up, assuming Cam is healthy. It opens everything up for Belichick and for Josh McDaniels. And I think they've looked across the league and seen what Lamar Jackson has done and seen what Deshaun Watson has done and said, you know what, I'd like to incorporate these things into my offense because it's tough to defend. And we saw glimpses a decade ago of Josh McDaniels doing that with Tim Tebow in Denver. And Cam Newton is way more athletic than Tim Tebow, way more talented, throws the ball on a different, you know, stratosphere than Tim Tebow threw the ball. So I think Josh McDaniels is going to love the opportunity to work with Cam Newton.
I think it's going to be strange to see a New England offense that doesn't look like what we're used to seeing, you know? Real quick passes from the quarterback, not a whole lot of mobility, different types of things. I'm curious to see what it looks like. Most important thing here, Scott, you just touched on it, Cam has to be healthy. Right. And from all accounts, I guess he is. And because when he's healthy, despite being, and I've said this forever, the guy's just got a terrible throwing mechanics. They're awful. And yet he's an MVP, and he's really good.
Right.
You know, so it doesn't really matter. But every time I watch him, I just think, oh, my God, that's ugly. Boy, that was pretty good. You know, it's a very strange thing. It'll be a really different look for the Patriots. I'm anxious to see what they do. And I would also think, you know, they have Sony Michel. They have James White. They have some running backs who maybe were a little underutilized for whatever reason. And maybe that changes, because think about, you know, Christian McCaffrey with Cam in Carolina, man. They did a lot of things, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's a completely different look on offense for the Pats.
Yeah, it's interesting you said that, Jeff, because I just wrote a note to myself, running backs. And when I look at New England as a whole, they still don't blow you away with their offensive skill position weapons, right? There's no Gronk anymore. You know, Josh Gordon's not there. You know, and they always struggled with those outside receivers, but they don't have a lot of those weapons. What they do have is a deep pool of running backs. And if you incorporate the quarterback run into that, and this is, again, assuming Cam is healthy, if you can incorporate that like Baltimore does with Mark Ingram, and now they have J.K. Dobbins, right? If you have those stable running backs with a quarterback that has the running threat and a big arm, which you can say what you want about Cam's motion, but he always had a huge arm, then when he was healthy, because we saw him in Cleveland when he wasn't healthy and he didn't have a huge arm, then you can do so many things to a defense. You can dictate, you can keep them honest, and it opens a lot of things up. So I agree with you. I think you're going to go from seeing the three-step drop of Tom Brady to getting the ball out of his hands and getting it to Edelman underneath to, you know, two or three running backs, you know, quarterback options, the kind of offense that Greg Roman ran in Baltimore last year with Lamar Jackson.
Scott, on Brown Zone right now, you've got, their headline is, Kevin Stefanski can look to the lockout of 2011 for direction, plus inspiration from Jim Harbaugh and the 49ers. Just give me your biggest takeaway of what you can get from that lockout in 2011 that can help the Browns this year.
Yeah, to me it's the closest thing that we have to compare to this unusual offseason of 2020. And that one was even worse from a coaching perspective, because you couldn't talk to your players. So, you know, that was Pat Shurmur's first year, and I remember talking to him before training camp, and he'd never talked to any of his players. Never met him, never had in the field, never had a meeting until the first day of training camp. And he was behind the eight ball. And Stefanski, I asked him about this on Thursday, and he said, hey, this is different because we've had 10 weeks of meetings. I feel like my guys know my system. And I think he's looking on the bright side and being overly optimistic. I think it's still a huge hurdle for the Browns to overcome. But when I went back and looked at the first-year coaches in 2011 who had a tougher offseason, Jim Harbaugh went 13-3 with the Niners and lost in the NFC Championship game. And Hugh Jackson went 8-8, and Jason Garrett went 8-8, and John Fox went 8-8, all in their first seasons. And, you know, Jim Harbaugh had been a head coach before, but not in the NFL. You know, Hugh hadn't been a head coach before. Garrett had only been an interim coach a couple games before. Mike Munchak went 9-7 with Tennessee. So the point is, despite difficult off seasons, teams can go on to have success. And I think that is a point that Kevin Stefanski can make when a lot of people think the Browns are in a big disadvantage given new coach, new system, young roster.
Scott Petrak joining us from the Chronicle-Telegram. So Cam signs, you know, that's all that's going to be announced, you know, good for them. There are still other free agents out there. Does this kind of loosen things up a little bit? You know, we are closing in on when training camps are supposed to start, and you know who I'm thinking about here. A certain defensive end who's available. Do you think Jadeveon Clowney's decision on where he's going to play comes sooner rather than later, or does this thing drag out?
I think we're going to start to see more free agents come to terms and wind up at teams, but I still think we are 2 or 3 weeks away from that happening. Not that you won't see a trickle, but I don't think the gates will open until right about the start of training camp. And a lot of that is because there still isn't a great way to work out these players, right? The NFLPA is telling, you know, guys not to host training sessions, and I don't think the Browns are having people in for workouts yet. I mean, when we talked to Glenn Cook about it a couple weeks ago, the Browns hadn't gotten to that process yet. The league hasn't gotten to that. Now, Cam is putting up videos, and we saw him throw to Odell Beckham Jr., so maybe I'm sure that helped the Patriots feel comfortable with bringing Cam in. They felt like they'd seen it. Now, you know, if Clowney sends a video to the Browns, maybe that pushes it forward. I think if you're going to pay, you know, and Cam's not getting a huge contract, Clowney would get a much bigger contract than Cam got. So would the Browns want their doctors to get their hands on him? That's a big consideration when we discuss that. So, you know, I think you'll see more free agents start to sign, but I don't think, you know, I don't think, I just don't see resolution in the Clowney thing happening right away. But I guess it could be wrong in that, but it just feels like there's too much that needs to be figured out specifically about Clowney, given the money that he's asking for.
Let me ask the simple question from 10,000 feet. Are we playing on time this year? And did the July 28th report date give you more confidence that they will play on time?
Yeah, I feel that they will start the season on time. I feel less confident that 16 games will be completed just because we don't know, you know, how the virus is going to go. The virus in general, we don't know how it's going to go when you put 55 players and whatever the practice squad is now, 12, and a bunch of coaches in the same building, and then they're not in a bubble, though. Like, you can see a bunch of scenarios where you play five games and then a team is overrun with the virus. Hopefully that doesn't happen. But that start date, I feel like you can get to September 10th and 13th for the start of the season. And, yeah, when the NFL was strong about training camp starting July 28th, just a week ago, that made me feel like they're going to do everything they can to get the season started on time. Now, even when they say that, it's we expect to open July 28th, and there's no – the safety guidelines have not been approved by the union yet, but it certainly feels like the NFL will do everything possible to start on time. And then after that, it might be out of their control exactly how much they can handle.
Scott, do you think they change roster size? I haven't seen that anywhere. Add some more players, game day rosters, bigger, anything like that as a precaution just to keep more guys around and training? Or is less more in this situation where you don't want people perhaps exposed to things?
Right. Well, that's the fascinating part is somebody asked me in a mailbag a couple of weeks ago about expanding the rosters, and it made all the sense in the world to me because let's say, you know, just for sake of argument, 10 guys test positive. Well, you need to have a reserve of guys if you're going to play, right? If the league says right. We're going to play and there's not forfeits or not, let's take this game and put it at the end of the season, then you need a healthy reserve of players, a healthy number of players. So to me, that means you expand. But I also get the argument of, well, if we have 90 guys show up for training camp, that just increases the risk. So do we cut down the reporters to training camp to 75? Because we know these 15 guys weren't going to make the roster anyway. I get that argument too. So maybe it's a combination of that where you cut down how many guys you start with. But for the season, I don't think, with assuming nothing changes with the virus, I don't think you can just go into the season going, we have a 55-man roster. Because, you know, if you have 48 active on game day, there's not a whole lot of wiggle room there, especially given the attrition rate of a normal season with just injuries. So maybe it's where you have a 12-man practice squad or you bump that to 15 and you can just call those guys up every Sunday, kind of like a baseball, you know, injury list where you can slide guys back and forth. To me, you almost have to go there just for a pure number standpoint so you can feel the 48 guys on game day or whatever. I think it's 48. There's 48 guys on game day.
Let me throw the other question.
Yeah, go ahead,
Jeff.
No,
I'll just say, do you think we'll have fans in the stands? I think we'll have 20%.
Do you really?
That's my guess. It's just my guess.
I keep going back and forth on that. It just seems like it creates so many other issues for teams in the league to deal with. You know, not only are you putting the fans in jeopardy, right? What about vendors? What about ticket takers? What about parking attendants? Like, and I get that that's necessary for the economy, and, you know, obviously all of this is a balance between safety and economics. I don't know. I just feel like that's too risky. Now, maybe if we watch baseball try to do it at some point this season, the NFL will feel better about trying to have fans in the stands. I think with the TV contract as big as it is, I personally don't think that's a risk I would take as an organization or as a league. you know, even from a liability standpoint. And then I think if it's, you reduce it to 20%, I think it's another can of worms with what 20% of the fans do you allow in the stadium.
Scott, last thing. You know, baseball has talked about free agents who are available working out together in Nashville. And I don't know exactly how that would work, but there'd be a pool of players staying ready just in case. I think the NFL could do something like that, where they put together some type of free agent training camp that these guys are just working out all year. And if teams need players, they could go get them that way. I don't know that that's necessary in the NFL because there are so many guys who are always looking to get into the league. But I wonder if they would try something like that.
I do think that's a possibility. And if you could keep, I don't know what the number would be. You know, let's call it 55, five guys that, or whatever, you know. Then I think if you did it that way and you could keep them in a bubble and you felt like, okay, these guys are safe, they've been training, they're healthy, you can plug them into a roster, I think that would remove some anxiety and some questions from the teams looking for free agents, as opposed, you know, you bring in a kicker on a Tuesday and you work him out and then you test him. Then he's got to be test negative and you can't really put him in the pool with the players until Friday until he tests, you know, all those things. I think it would remove some of the issues. And I know that I think the XFL had a similar system just to have guys ready to plug in for teams within the league. They tried it last year. So it's been done. And to me, that is a good idea. Now, it takes some control out of the team's hands, right, because you're looking at a league deciding which guys are in the bubble. But I think for anything, these are extenuating circumstances. We're all going to have to be willing to make exceptions if we want to see football at all this year.
Scott, thank you, sir.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Scott Petrak, brownzone.com, where you can read all of his work. He covers the Browns for the Chronicle-Telegram. And always good to have Scott with us Mondays at 11 on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.